The following was at the Frying Pan meeting the second Sunday in November 1978.
Yeah. Faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. Breaks through the clouds of flesh and sense and dwells in heavenly light. On page 78, let us say.
Faith is a
gracious Father, we humbly, hopefully thankful this morning that thou hast led few of thy believing people to gather here at this place. We thank thee, O Lord, for the love and the fellowship that thou hast given us for thy people. And especially we give thee thanks for speaking in our poor souls years ago with most of us and giving us to know that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But thou hast loved thy people, we felt that thou didst include each one of us in that number, that thou loved, thou didst love and gave to thy Son Jesus Christ for the purpose of redeeming us by his shed blood and his sacrifice, redeeming us from all of our sins and our iniquities. We know that thou art a gracious and a merciful God, because we realize full well that so far as we are concerned in our flesh, we deserve nothing that is good at thy hand. And yet thou hast made it manifest that thou hast loved even sinners such as we were, and brought us to know that we were sinners, and then brought us forth into that new birth in which it was revealed to us that we were among that number that thou hast chosen, and who should be born of the Spirit of God. Not only to be born of the flesh, but to be born of the Spirit. And And then more in the Spirit of the Lord, thou hast revealed to us the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, thy Son. And when we come together, we desire that if it is thy will, that thou would make thyself manifest in our poor hearts, because we realize that thou who art the Spirit, art worshipped only in spirit and in truth, and if left to ourselves, we cannot worship thee, because it is determined, and our Savior said, that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray thy blessings upon these that are here. Pray thy blessings upon those who occasionally are here, but for reasons better known unto thee. We pray that thou will remember the sick and the afflicted, those that are in the hospital, those who are weary, and give them grace, O Lord, that they might run the race that is set before them patiently, to look unto thee and to trust in thee and thee alone. Know that thou and thou alone are the only one that is able to give us grace when we need thy grace, and to keep us by thy mighty power, giving us patience, that we might run our race with patience. Lord, grant not only thy blessings upon these that are here today, but thy blessings upon all of Israel, all of Zion, wherever they may be, whether they gather together in the company as we are this morning, or whether thou would deal individually with them, wilt thou cause that they might remember the hole of the pit from which they dig, and that thou, Lord, hast had mercy upon us, providing for us the way of salvation, which we did not have at all, but thou didst give it to us and then made it manifest to us. And thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we know that thou hast people everywhere, throughout the whole world. Thou knowest them, we don't know, but there are few of them. But thou knowest every one of them. And thou hast sent forth thy Spirit into their hearts, teaching them, bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light. So Father, be with us today, be with those, wherever they may be met together, that thou wouldst give them of thy Spirit, that they may worship only in spirit and in truth, and that they might declare the things that thou hast done for them when thou didst bring them out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Lord, be with us while we live. Be with us when we become feeble, that we might remember that all of our strength, all of our hope, is in thee, out of God, and in thee alone. Bless us, therefore, according to thy will. May thy name have all the praise, the honor, and glory. We beg for Jesus' sake. Sometime, either last evening or this morning, I don't recall which now, I remember that the writer, one or two of them, has spoken of musing. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. This is found in the 143rd Psalm. And I'd like to read that, part of this psalm at least, to get the connection, if it is the Lord's will, that we might see and be aware of what David was talking about. In his prayer, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He had made me to dwell in darkness, as those who have been long dead. Therefore, as my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land seeketh. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. And destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. That is, I said, was the 143rd Psalm. I feel that sometimes you can bear witness with me that without taking thought, sometimes we find ourselves meditating upon the mercies of the Lord. And we muse, as he used both words, meditate and muse here. So that as we are blessed to muse upon the way that the Lord has brought us, and we know that it's out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we sit still, as it were, and wait, made to wait upon the Lord, to manifest, to assure us that the things that we were given in years ago, perhaps, came from the Lord. But it is a wonderful thing when he brings us to the place that we meditate upon the way he's brought us, not only upon the way he has brought us as individuals, but in the way that he has brought everything to light, that it was his will to create and to make manifest unto thy people, that he had chosen them in the Lord Jesus Christ and given them to him, sent him into the world for the purpose of redeeming them from all their sins and all their iniquities. So there's very few people, I realize, that are blessed to look back beyond time, before time, and to know assuredly that as God has delivered and made it known unto his people, as well as unto those whom he qualified to write the scriptures and to confirm these sayings in the hearts of thy people, I'm sure that were it not for his grace and mercy, we could not know a thing in the world about the things that beyond, way back beyond our knowledge and understanding. But what a gracious and wonderful thing it is that he has said at the mouth of, at the pen of his servant Moses, in the beginning God created the heaven. And he created the heaven. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't know anything about the creation. They don't know anything about the power of God. But God fixed it so that his people, those that he chose in his son Jesus before the world began, that they should have it so indelibly fixed in their hearts and minds when he brings them out to the darkness that all of us are in our flesh. He fixes it so that we know assuredly, without question, without a doubt, that God did create the heaven and the earth, and all the fullness out of it. So it was in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I had dwelt upon this subject many times, of course, over the years, and I love to dwell upon it, because I have been made to believe in the marvelous truth that God did create the heavens and the earth. Not only that, but he fixed everything along with his creation that should in the years and the centuries to come should bring to light the things that he determined before the world began. And therefore, as we are given to meditate upon these things, we often are unable to go in back into our own experience, the way that the Lord brought us individually out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and to give us that hope of eternal life, the assurance that we were among that number that God loved and gave his Son to redeem. So I sometimes sort of, I'm not asleep when I think about it, but sometimes I meditate upon the way that I am to hope and feel the Lord led me and brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And I feel that he does you the same way. Because what a wonderful God he is, that he not only brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, but gave us evidence that we, which is the most important part of the whole matter, that we, even we, such as we are and were in our flesh, that he gives us of that grace that was given to us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I suppose that our meditation would be so much upon the time, occasion, and the purpose that God had in giving his Son to be a sacrifice for his people. I wonder about that. I meditate upon it. But I know that as far as my flesh is concerned, so far as my fleshly understanding is concerned, it seems sometimes to be against what most people, and I myself sometimes, feel that it was right and good that the Lord did that. But nevertheless, as we are given to meditate upon these things, we know that the Lord does all things right, that he is the sovereign God. There's none like unto him. There's no God but our God. And so when we are given to meditate upon it, to muse upon these things, then we see and feel to realize what a gracious and merciful God he is, that he would give his only begotten Son to redeem poor sinners as we are out of our sins and our iniquities. Now, to meditate upon these things, I feel that it is the product of the flesh, the meditation, or the musings of looking back and remembering what the Lord had done for us. Because if he had not done something for us, something wonderful, something great, that we would not be interested. We could not look back. We could not meditate. We could not muse, except that the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we're glad. So when we come together, or when we're talking as brothers and sisters and friends about how great things the Lord has done for us, we remember that it was by his grace and his mercy alone, not by anything that we deserved as men and women, because everything that we have and we were confess that in us, that is in our flesh, that was no good thing. But the Lord did something great for us. We meditate upon the greatness of our God, the mercy of our God, the long-suffering of our God, and speaking in our hearts through His Spirit. You hath He quickened, as I often quote, you hath He quickened who were dead. Now, there was only the one that could quicken. That was the Lord our God. He quickened us. There's no way we could have quickened ourselves. There's no man that could quicken us. But the Lord had reserved all of these things immediately in His own hands to be applied unto His people through the working of the Spirit of God in their hearts. And so as we meditate upon it, how gracious we remember that our God has been to us all the days and the years of our life, and to admit in our very being that if God dealt with us according to what we have deserved, or do deserve now, so far as that's concerned, if He did that, we would have no knowledge, no salvation, no hope of eternal life. But in meditating, the Spirit of God gives us to meditate and to remember the way in which He brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Did you ever sit still by yourself sometimes, not asleep? Possibly could be asleep sometimes, because the Lord knows how, and He is able to speak in the heart. And whether we awake or whether we sleep, He shows us how gracious and merciful our God is. And so we like to meditate upon the way that the Lord had determined before the world began, and has carried out that determination in the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, here to redeem all of those that the Father loved and chose in His Son, Jesus Christ. So as we meditate on Thy work, we realize that it is the sovereign God that works these things. It was the sovereign God that elected His people, that loved His people. It was the sovereign God that gave His people to Jesus Christ, His Son, and sent His Son here into the world. And Jesus said He came not to do His own will, but the will of the Father that sent Him. So everything that God has done for us, He so prepared men of old, as centered as it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and made us to realize that it's by that grace of God that we are what we are. And to confess almost daily, we might say, feeling to realize that in me, that is in my flesh, it was no good thing. But no wonder the Lord said, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship the true and the living God in our flesh. Our flesh is not capable of understanding. But it is in the spirit of our God. When He brings us out of darkness into that spirit, then we know that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know as well as I do that oftentimes we meet together. Oftentimes we meet here or other places, and maybe just one or two of us, and we feel we would like to talk, but our hearts and our minds and our thoughts are shut up. And so it is, my brethren and friends, wholly in the hands of this our God to send forth His Spirit. For nothing else will do, send forth His Spirit into the hearts of His people, bringing them to meditate upon the way that the Lord has brought them, and to be thankful that He led them as He did lead them, and showed them that they were dead in sins and unworthy of His notice. And so it's a meditation. He said, I remember the days of old. Yes, do you remember the days of old in your experience? You remember how that the days of old, that you had no reason to have a hope, to hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. But David said, I remember the days of old. David remembered all those times when he was troubled. And he said, you know, the Lord clean gone forever? Has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? He remembered those things. We remember those things too. When the Lord spoke in our hearts years ago with some of us, maybe all of us, that we know that He spoke. There was something marvelous about it, because we did not entice. We had no way of enticing the Spirit of God. But as I quoted a while ago, you have to quicken. God quickens. He doesn't quicken everybody. He quickens those that He gave to His Son, Jesus Christ, before the world began. And therefore, as we feel that we could say brother to David and to all of those other biblical characters, we could say, I remember the days of old. I remember. I meditate upon the works of the Lord Jesus. I muse on the work of His hands. It's hard for me to express just what the word muse means. We're given to realize and remember. We must remember it also through the Spirit only, that we muse, that we take a hold of, or blessed to speak and take a hold of the things that the Lord has done for us over these years. And so as we muse, we wonder, and we wonder how, what a great God He is, and how in the world that He could even give His only begotten Son to save poor sinners such as we are. No wonder we meditate. No wonder we muse upon the works of the hands of our God. No wonder David said, I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee, as a thirsty lad. And he said, Selah. Now that word Selah there, so far as I understand it, it is a division. Since the Psalms were sung, it is a division. It is a something that belongs to the singing of the Psalms. And I don't know what it is exactly, but that's about the definition that anybody else would give. It's given in the dictionary. Sometimes I have looked it up. Selah. Some have said it's the end of one thought and the beginning of another. I don't know about that. I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty lamb. Selah. What a gracious God He is, to have caused that David should be brought here. Now when David was, no doubt, was getting to be old, but he remembered the works of the Lord, the grace and the mercy of the Lord in his younger days, as well as in the days that followed. So he remembered. He didn't forget it. He remembered all the while from whence all of his help came. So do you. And I hope that I do too, to remember. That is in me, that is in my flesh, it was no good day. And yet the Lord has brought us forth out of darkness into the marvelous light, so that we understand full well the very purpose that God had in choosing His people before the world began, and choosing them so that He gave them in a wonderful sense to His Son, as He could be and was the Redeemer of all of those that the Father gave Him. There's no other way. Men talk about the good works. Men talk about they do certain things to help the Lord along. Men talk about these things as if the Lord was a needy creature, and that He would have everybody to be saved and everybody to come forth into the knowledge of the truth. But they say that He needs. They, meaning those who have not been brought out of darkness. The Lord, they say, needs that men should go among these that they say have not been converted, and to speak to them and urge them to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. But my brethren, all the talking, all the urging, have ever hell deserving sinner, if it just comes from the mouth of men who claim that they're helping God, that never amount to ill being, never amount to anything. But he that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no man, I don't care who he is, how gracious the Lord has been to him. None of us could go there and impart the spirit to a man who's not been saved. We might urge him for all day long in the five hours of the night and tell him all you've got to do is to believe, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me so sick at heart. I'm almost at the sick of stomach. For men to say that all you've got to do is to come up and surrender to God and say, Jesus, I accept thee. That's the most terrible thing that I've ever heard, that men don't look unto the Spirit of God at all, but merely unto the voice and the urging and the persuasion of men that they would believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I don't believe that you and I would ever have known anything about Jesus as being the Son of God, that he was our Savior, except the very Spirit of God himself following up that, as I quoted there, you hath he quickened who were dead, following it up by being born to the Spirit of God. And we have to be, must be necessary, and according to the purpose and the will of our God, that we must be born to the Spirit of God before that we should know anything about it. But being born to the Spirit of God is not by any action of our own, not by saying, Lord, I believe, I accept thee. Oh, my brethren, I wonder what kind of a person it is that will listen to say, well, I accept thee. I know you want me, that's the sense of it. I know you want me to be saved. I'd accept you so that I'll be saved. But that's all, it's the biggest lie that ever been told. Because, my brethren, it is the work of the Spirit of God. It's the work of God that you believe on him. Not my work, not your work, not one of the evangelists' work, not those who travel far and near and persuade and beg men to receive and believe these things. Not that. But I muse and meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And I go back. I can go back, and I'm sure you can too. Go back there and to the place where you first was made to know what it undeserving sinner you were, undeserving of the grace of God. And you know, you tried everything that you could do, decided that you would do this, and you made a failure. I tell you, my brethren, it takes that still, small, powerful voice of our God to speak in the very heart, in the very soul of those that he has chosen before the world began, in order to make them or cause them to come out and believe. And it isn't a question of accepting. I accept, no, not that. But the greatest question, I believe, that would be in a man's, a woman's heart, was not that I accept him, but has he accepted me? That's a great question. I couldn't accept him, but he so stirred us up in us, in our minds and hearts, for us to know what dead sinners, hell-deserving sinners we are. But it is only because that he quickens us to know that we were dead, and then sends forth his Spirit into our heart. So David said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. David didn't say, I meditate on some of thy works. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Do we not so oftentimes desire to praise, exalt, and lift up the name of our Savior and our God, to remember that he has done great things for us? Not that we have solicited his work in our heart. No, but that he has arrested us, much in the same way, or just exactly, I might say, the same way that he stopped Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus. Just like he has caused his people in every age of the world to be brought out of the darkness in which they felt self-righteous, and to the marvelous life of the Son of God in which Jesus Christ is revealed in their hearts as their Savior. Not just adding a little bit to what I do, what I have done, what I expect to do. No, he quickened his people. Now, he never quickened anybody else. Then I know that this is a terrible thing in the hearts of those who do not know anything about the power and the grace and the mercy of God. I know that they say, well, I didn't have to receive it. I've heard some of them talking about intimating that he could receive it and not receive it. But if he knows anything, that person knows anything about the power of God, he caused that man solid Tarsus to fall to the ground and to say, who art thou, Lord? I said some time ago, as you some of you probably remember, that the Saul of Tarsus thought that he knew the truth, he knew God, he thought, but he did not see the world in reality until his Father spoke in his heart, the light shined from heaven, who art thou, Lord? What a gracious thing it is when the Lord answers, brings us in to the place and the circumstances that we've given hope of eternal life. And knowing that all of our works heretofore, whatever they may have been, have not amounted to anything at all, because it's by the grace of God and the grace of God alone that we are brought out, that we were chosen in Christ, brought out darkness into the marvelous light, and God gives us grace daily, whether we realize it or not, day after day. But God's grace is always with us. He keeps us as the apple of his eye. We can't keep him, but he keeps us. And while we sometimes remember that we had forgotten to give God thanks upon many occasions, and yet the Lord knows. He knows. We meditate upon his works from the beginning so that we know full well that our shortcomings are taken care of by the grace or through the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Did we ever thirst for the grace and the mercy of God? Thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ before that we were given to meditate upon the things that the Lord has done for us in days past. How that he sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, brought us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, the Son of God. Now I'm going to go on a little bit. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Yeah, hear me speedily. My spirit faileth. I'm so weak. I'm so little. I'm so unworthy that I can't keep myself in the way. But he says, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. I don't know just exactly what that means. Lest I be like those that go down into the pit. Maybe they were familiar with the fact that there are many who, from the national standpoint, had been put to death because of some things that they'd done against the government, and they would go down into the pit, into the grave, being delivered unto those who executed. But he says, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Yes, he knew what it meant. His experience had brought him out to know what it would be to go down into the pit, to lose the sight of the fact that God is a merciful God. People talking about today that men can fall from grace. I say, my brethren and friends, never a child of God has ever fallen from grace, because he's kept by the power of God. No man can come unto the Father except the Father who sent me, Jesus, to draw him. He keeps them by the power of God. He sends forth his Spirit. He provides for them the necessities of life, not only the necessities of natural life, but he provides for them the necessities of his religious, spiritual life as he lives here and knows that he needs the grace of God to speak so often in his heart, lest he feel that the Lord has forsaken him. You know anything about feeling that the Lord has been gone forever? Yes, David knew that. He felt that. But he couldn't reach out and take hold of it. So neither can we. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Has it not been our prayer many times, Lord, lead, direct, keep me, give me grace for this day, whatever day duties may demand. Give us grace. Give us grace. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Aren't these things the things that we desire most of anything? And yet we pray the Lord to keep us, to have mercy upon us, because we still realize, regardless of how great the mercy of the Lord has been with us, we still realize that we are dependent creatures upon the God of heaven for everything that we are, everything we have, everything we shall ever have or ever need. We're dependent upon him. So he said, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Who else could hide? Poor sinners. But this God that David was made to say, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. O Lord, don't we pray often, Lord, what is thy will? What would thou have me to do? We don't know. We can't guess at it. We can't just determine these things for ourselves. But David said, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble and of thee, and of thy mercy. Cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I don't know the enemies he's talking about. I suspect that the enemies that David was considering there was his flesh, that he knew that in him, that it was in his flesh that dwells no good thing. The flesh is an enemy. And how often we say things and do things, and just a moment after it's too late, we would beg the Lord to have mercy upon us and to give us grace, lead us by thy Spirit, confirm our hope, and that we might worship him and speak such things as, Lord, thy mercy endureth forever. Have mercy upon us. Lord, thou knowest. And so we look to him. Nowhere else to look. We look to our brethren. We desire, and often do, talk to the brethren and sisters, and they tell us how great things the Lord's done for them. We're glad of that. We're glad of those things. But my brethren, those meditations and the musings upon the way that the Lord has brought us, far greater than anything else that we can know anything about, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher, the musing, that we remember the way that the Lord has led us in graciousness and the mercy he's given to us. And so we meditate in the scriptures. We meditate in the way the Lord has brought us. Isn't it wonderful to remember back when you remember what a vile sinner you was and the Lord brought you out of that darkness into his marvelous light? If you know full well that salvation is by the grace of God, you never will claim again, can't claim again, that it was a mixture of what I did and what the Lord did. No, by the grace of God, I am what I am. May the Lord be with you.
Turn to page 154,
first hymn on that page. Children of the heavenly King, as you journey, sweetly sing. Sing your Savior's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. Ye are traveling home to God in the way the fathers tried. They are happy now, and ye soon their happiness will see. Let us stand and sing. While we sing, we announce an open door for the reception of members.
Children of yeah.
bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light and giving us hope. That we're among that number, Adas Bab, among that number that Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, gave up, was crucified. And God just give him to be the propitiation for our sins. And God just give us the knowledge of the truth by the work of thy spirit in our hearts, that we, that we're not deceived. Thou hast loved. Thou hast brought us out of darkness. Lord, may thy name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, both now and evermore. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.